The Geek News Central Podcast. It is Tuesday, 5 April 2005, and we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast.
Attention. Attention. A special news bulletin is about to commence. You are being instructed to turn the volume up for this special announcement from Geek News Central. This is the Geek News Central podcast coming to you live.
This is the only way forward
from historic Ford Island, Honolulu, Hawaii.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Todd, the geek from Geek News Central, and thanks for tuning in. Hey, we got a wonderful, wonderful program for you. And as always, I'm pumped up, ready to go. And hey, we even got a winner tonight. Oh, you didn't know we had a contest? Oh, you weren't on the mailing list. Ha ha. Oh, that'll teach you. Some of you are going to have to get signed up for the mailing list because I'm going to have impromptu contest on the mailing list. Yeah, see, I told you there was something special for them. But anyway, hey, first time listeners, we want to thank you for tuning in. You want to make sure that you visit the main website at www.geeknewscentral.com. Go over there and check that out and click on the podcast link to go over and find all our older shows. Hey, got a lot of stuff on the lineup tonight. Oh, wow. You know, it just seems, you know, I start out this evening as I'm last week, and I was saying, there isn't that much content out here tonight. And of course, little by little, it adds up. And here we are. It's 9:30 p.m. in Honolulu, and it is a rainy Honolulu. It's been raining for the last couple of days. I know. You feel sorry for me. You know, it's not sun shining. You know, I kind of welcome the rain. It's kind of funny. When we first moved here 7.5, 8 years ago, whatever it is, I lose track of time, but for like 4 years in our winter months, we have the same winter months that they do on the mainland, of course. But our winter is really like, you know, a 6 or 7 degree temperature drop and maybe some more rain than normal. But when we first got here, it really did not rain that much. And parts of Oahu did not even look like a tropical island. It kind of looked like a desert. And for those of you that have been to Oahu, you know that one side of the island is greener than the other, and it's just because of a mountain divide. It splits the island. So, you know, it's been kind of wild the last 3 years because it has just rained like cats and dogs during wintertime. And I feel sorry for some of the tourists coming over because they, you know, it comes and goes. And when it does settle in and rains, it usually rains for like 3 or 4 days straight. And I'm sure that ruined some people's vacation plans. But I guess if you're coming from where it's cold, you know, it may not be such a bad thing. But I actually enjoy it. Now, one thing that's interesting about living in the tropics. Now, when I lived in Guam for almost 7 years, it rained there nearly every day. And the strange thing about Guam is when it rained, there was never lightning and thunder. Never. I mean, just it was unheard of. And even when typhoons, the same thing as basically a hurricane, but when typhoons came through, there was really no thunder or lightning. And so whenever we get a good thunder and lightning storm here in Hawaii, I actually open windows up because I lived in an area for so long that I really never was able to get, you know, hear a good thunder and lightning storm. And I open the windows up here. My wife thinks I'm nuts, but hey, you know, that's what kind of, you got to get that full effect, you know. You never know how long it's going to be before the next one. And some of you out in the Midwest and places where they have thunder and lightning storms every day are probably rolling your eyes, but it's the truth. Wife's still in Japan. She did not get out. Hopefully, she's doing a Space A type of thing, trying to get out. So hopefully Wednesday they're going to have availability, and the kids are starting to. And this is the longest they've been away from mom, or actually the longest mom has been away. And tonight they came up before they were getting ready to go to bed and said, "Can we sleep in your room?" I'm like, "Okay, go ahead." you know, and them fully expecting me to crawl in bed with them. But when I went in there about 10 minutes ago and looked, and they're, you know, both of them are, I got their arms all spread out, and it looks like I'm going to be sleeping in my boy's bed tonight. But yeah, it was a thought that counts, right? And then if they slide over, maybe I'll sneak in there. Okay, now, here's what I did tonight. There's about 100 of you signed up for the mailing list. And about 5 hours prior to the show tonight, I pulled a little sneaky thing. I sent out an email basically doing a pre-announcement for the show. And in that pre-announcement, I said, hey, whoever calls the voicemail line, you'll be in the drawing for a small prize tonight. And the prize is going to be cash, and I've got my winner all queued up. So, Jim Williams, you are paying attention, friend. And for those of you on the mailing list that said, oh, I didn't get the email, next time I'll try to send it out a little sooner. So for the rest of you that missed out on a contest today, here's what Jim Williams had to say on voicemail.
Hello, Todd. This is Jim Williams. I listened to your podcast, and I heard about the contest on the mail-in list. I like your show a lot. Keep up the good work. Bye.
All right, Jim. And cash prize tonight is $20. So send me your email. If you have a PayPal account, I'll PayPal you $20. And you're $20 for the richer for tuning into our mailing list. So, yes, everyone, the link will be up tonight for the mailing list so you can get signed up. And it's not like people are getting inundated with email. There's, you know, two or three things a week in there. So, nice and tricky on me. Okay, what else have I got in my initial show notes tonight? All right. Hey, I want you guys to start thinking about 64. You're saying, what do you mean 64? I want you to start thinking about 64. Something special is going to happen on 64. Okay. Also, I've been getting some email, and I tell you what, I really feel good about an email I got from John Green. John, I know you're listening to the show, and I want everyone to listen to this. And I think it's important for all of you that are out there about thinking about doing a podcast. Check out John's comments. Hi, Todd. Thanks to you, I had my first podcast posted. Thanks for the libsyn.com site, or it's libsyn.com or org. They have those are both their domains. It is great and what I was looking for. Also, I did compress my 17 meg to 12 meg using Diet MP3 with little distortion of the file. I made the podcast using my Dell laptop and a cheap mic, but it sounds great to me. Fun making intro bumper music, etc. I use Audacity to mix my show. The podcast is at http://jgreen45.libsyn.com. If you have time to check it out, I will, John. I'll check it out for sure. And he has two questions for me. Audacity does not have a genre called podcast, so I had to pick other. Do you know any way to get my shows to have the podcast genre? John, I'm going to put a link up on the website to a utility. And basically what this is, it's called MP3 tag. It's free. So once you get your show made and made into an MP3, you can launch this little program called MP3 tag, load the application, and you'll be able to go in there and edit all of that information in the MP3 player or MP3 file. If you have Apple iTunes loaded or Windows Media Player, you can also load the show in either one of those applications. On Apple iTunes, I believe you do a right click on the MP3 and you select Get Info. I'm going to cough here. Excuse me. Also, how do I get a photo on my logo attached to the MP3 file? John, the MP3 tag will not import a photo, but Apple iTunes will, and you can actually edit all of your info for your MP3 file in Apple iTunes by right-clicking on the MP3 and selecting Get Info. So that gives you some information on how to do that. Hey, you guys, I want to turn you on to the smallest smartphone in the world. It is powered by Windows Mobile for Microsoft and is sold in the USA at AT&T Wireless as the Audiovox SMT5600 and in Europe as Orange SPV-C500. Get the latest information about this and other cell phones powered by Microsoft at www.msmobiles.com. Nobody else gives you the whole story. And thanks for MS Mobiles for being our sponsor. And also, try to go through some more emails I got. I got an email from David. Basically, he says that, I made a mistake last show talking about the guy that got the finger cut off for when he was getting his car hijacked. And that was not in Singapore. That was in Malaysia and Kuala Lumpur. And I should have known that. I've been in KL before. And matter of fact, I've been there a number of times. So I just missed it when I was reading the article. So I apologize about that. But again, that guy basically lost his finger over because his car had to get his car started with his fingerprint. Okay, we got an email from Tim, and he basically he just wanted to tell me about where he stood on DRM, copy protection and privacy, and just to let you know that some people consider, you know, some people take it pretty serious. And he's a longtime Microsoft user, buying legitimate copies of everything from starting out with DOS to Windows 1.0, 2.0, 3.1, 95, 98 SE, etc. But he said, I would have bought a copy of Windows XP if Microsoft hadn't included the whole activation thing. As it is, I am about to buy a Mac and convert my PCs to Linux. So, you know, Tim, I understand your concerns over the activation policy. And, you know, I think what's going on there is Microsoft has had it with people pirating their software, and they are trying to get people to pay for the application. So I can't blame them on that. But, you know, I don't necessarily agree with the policy of what they've done also. From Fraser, A. Fraser, we took care of our little problem. Thanks for the link to the application that you showed me. I'm not going to go into detail on what he was talking about, but hey, thanks for that info. And finally, this is almost too long to read, but Ace Milo, you're amongst thousands, my friend, who got a PSP with bad pixels. And unfortunately, the area you were living in, you kind of got screwed and had to send the Sony PSP back to them to get a replacement. I'm going to sum this up in probably one sentence here. He says, my advice to anyone buying one of these is to open a box in the parking lot, plug in the battery and turn it on, and immediately look for dead pixels. They will be obvious when you turn it on against a black startup screen. If you have any dead pixels, immediately walk back in the store and exchange it. If they refuse to exchange it, just return it and buy another one. So again, this is another issue about these Sony PSPs with dead pixels on the screen. Okay, that's enough on that. I have enough email to go through next show. Hey, we're getting ready to start developing a media kit for the site, and we want your opinions on the show to help us basically build this media kit. Let us know what has attracted you to the Geek News Central podcast. Just send us some general comments or what you don't like or what you do like. And, you know, we're not going to quote you in the media kit. We're not going to do that. But we'll maybe say listener comments, say, you know, we'll do something like that. But we won't put your name in there. Now, on the Google front, something very interesting is going on. And I think it could lead to something that's going to benefit podcasters. But they are starting to allow video uploads. And I've got the details in one of the articles tonight. But it shows me that Google is trying to 100% unequivocally corner the market on every type of media, be it audio, video, spoken word, email, you name it. You look at the information that they are collecting. And, you know, with Gmail now going to 2 gigs. That's right, guys. They upped it on, you know, they said on April 1st that they were going to double the the storage amount, and it didn't get a lot of press because people were thinking maybe it was an April Fool's thing, but it's not. And they've actually went above 2 gigs, and I think my counter on my inside my account says like 2 gigs, 57 megs, or something like that. And they say they're going to continue increasing file space as they have it available. I wonder if they've got like 20 guys who are just building computers and stuffing hard drives in them. You know, because, gosh, they are just, I know that I have personally, over the last maybe 2 weeks, probably given out about 200 Gmail accounts. So 200 times 2, that's 400 gigs that I have given away myself, you know, of invites. So, you know, that's 2 hard drives right there. And actually more than that, considering they have to do backups and everything. You know, what is the value of a customer? I guess, you know, for them to give away 2 gigs of storage, they, like I said in the last one, they must be making a lot of money on advertising. Okay, I want to play this little clip for you, and then we'll get into the regular content.
Attention podcasters and portable audio and video enthusiasts. The Podcast and Portable Media Expo is November 11th and 12th, 2005, in Southern California at the Ontario Convention Center. Walk the exhibit hall and demo the latest hardware and software tools for creating podcasts. Hear from audio engineers about how they record and edit their own audio files, and attend classes on how to promote your podcast and attract paying sponsors. Register today at www.podcastexpo.com.
And some of you that have registered for Podcast Expo have started to send me your registration forms, or actually verifications of your registration. And what that boils down to, folks, is that we're going to be having a drawing every month, and sometimes twice a month, for people that are going to go to Podcast Expo. And so send me those registrations that you know that you're going to be there, and we're going to put you in the drawing for basically to, you know, win some cool stuff. And that's on me. That's not on Podcast Expo. They're not footing this contest. That's all because I want you to join us at the Podcast Expo and come to my open bar night. And this is for Geek News listeners only, okay? So we're not going to be, I'm not going to be running $1,000 up on my credit card to, we'll have to have it a limited bar. Maybe I should say that before I get myself in trouble. Okay. One thing I found that's been kind of making the rounds the last couple of days, that there was a report that Pew Internet put out, said that 6 million people have heard podcasts. And if you read deeper into the article, you realize that that is not necessarily, they kind of sensationalized their headline. And so there's been a big discussion about how many people have actually listened to a podcast. And you know, we've been doing a lot of hard work over at techpodcast.com to figure out what our real numbers are. And I think we're real close, and we're building some tools to make that happen. And we're going to start releasing some info, hopefully here this week, maybe early next week, to give you guys an idea, you know, just maybe a small sampling of the people that are involved with Tech Podcast on what type of numbers that we are, we're seeing. And we're being pretty cool about it. We're all sharing that information. And, you know, giving out statistic data is like giving up the keys to the car. People don't like to do that. But so far, it's worked out all right. And we've had a number of people. There's been a few that have not wanted to, and I can understand why. But we're going to give you some more info on that. I'm sure you guys are interested in how many people are actually tuning into podcasts. And we'll give you a sampling of 20 or so shows. And not of my shows, but a combined 20 different, you know, like 20 different podcasts to give you an idea of what our reach is. And we're going to talk about total downloads, independent IPs, or, you know, and all kinds of good info. So that is forthcoming. Firefox, there's, if those of you, I got a few comments back, people asking me about what the Mozilla Foundation is doing over a link prefetching. And basically, that's where your browser, if you load a web page in the background, the browser will start loading pages that it thinks you may go to. And I don't know what kind of, I didn't read the full article, but I'm going to link this up here so that those of you that want to dig down deep into how this thing is going to work, You can go look at that directly. Robin Good put up something today, and I tell you what, I looked all over the guy's site for a tip jar, couldn't find one, so instead I clicked on a couple of Google ads, because he provided today a great article on where to find great free photographs and visuals for your own online articles. I have signed up for several services where I actually pay for photos. And you know what? Some of them are expensive. And I can't afford that. And I've looked and looked, and you know, you find sites that'll have, you know, 100 pictures on it that are, you know, royalty free, copyright free, and the whole nine yards. But you know, it's been tough to find a good service that has a lot of pictures on it. Well, he linked me to like, he's got a link to like 10 different sites that all have great, great archives. And I guess it was just being able to find them, because when you do a search on Google, of course what rises to the top are all the for pay services. So a number of these sites have immediately went into my permanent favorites list. And you know, if you guys get over there and check Robin Good's site out, and those of you that realize the value in the links that he's provided there, hey, help the man out. Click a couple of Google ads on the way out as a way of saying thank you. And you know, click on something that may interest you in there so that the advertisers get some return on their investment also. You know, did I remember telling you guys about my ghost that I think we had in the house? Some of you probably knew and haven't heard about that. But here, you know, here in Hawaii is full of culture. Fort Island especially has a lot of history behind it with the number of sailors and stuff that died here during World War II. But a Japanese company is selling a ghost detector. Now, it's kind of a novelty item, but I wonder how many people are actually going to go buy this ghost radar detector. I thought it was pretty cute, and it's attached to a U.S. memory stick. So, being my wife's still in Japan, I may have her go get us one of these ghost detectors and have it bring it home. And it plugs into the USB drive here. And so what I'll do is I'll let you guys know during the show what the ghost detector is doing. Be a lot of fun, I think. You know, even if it is a novelty item, I can tell you that we got a ghost in the room while we're doing the podcast. Okay, on another news, what I came across this earlier in the weekend, and there's more information on it today. Let's talk about a company called M-Spot. They're offering radio through cell phones. And what they're going to be offering is 8 music channels and 5 news channels with the ability to add channels on demand. So if anybody's got a contact over there at M-Spot, anybody if knows this guy, and I'm going to send him an email and say, hey, how about a podcast channel? Oh, did that just perk your ears up? Now, personally, I don't know if I want to listen to the radio through my cell phone. Maybe. Depends on how much. They're saying it's going to be like $5.95 a month, all you can eat, or actually $15 to $25 a month, all you can eat. No, you know, it's not going to count against your bandwidth on your phone. So this could be pretty cool. But think about that. If he has unlimited, he has ability to add unlimited number of channels, hey, let's put a podcasting channel on his service, and then you guys can get podcasts via your cell phones. Now, you have to pay for it. I like free better. How about you guys? But anyway, innovative service, kind of cool, and we'll see how they do in their launch of that. Mozilla is testing Block for new pop-ups. Basically, little by little, people have learned how to bypass some of the pop-up blocking mechanisms in Firefox and in the other Mozilla applications. So they have went in and they're working at working to come up with a good solution for that. And they're actually testing a patch that they have out. So I'll have a link up to the beta news information on that. And you guys, if you want to go run that plugin, go ahead, or actually run that patch. I'll load that up and see how it works. And I really haven't been, I guess I read too many news sites, and I haven't been hammered by these pop-ups. I'm sure those of you that are out there surfing in the wild a lot probably get more of it than I do. Hey, let me know. Let me know what kind of pop-ups you're seeing in Firefox and how bad it may or may not be. I guess we already talked about earlier the Gmail storage continuing to go up. So, and I do still have invites, and I've went through a lot, and I don't know if they're going to renew anymore for me. I hope they do here shortly, but if you still need an invite, geeknews@gmail.com. Okay, one thing that Google has done on Gmail, it's they have put some code in place that is going to, basically, when you are in Gmail and a email comes in that is a suspect phishing email, basically a phishing email is one that is, you know, you get a message, your PayPal account is under suspicion for a foreign IP login. And, of course, that email is from some foreign IP trying to get you to give up your credit card number to them so that they can buy whatever they're going to buy and fraud you out of some dollars and Visa out of some dollars. But what's going to happen when you get a phishing email, Google is going to put a big red box up on the screen saying, warning, this could be a phishing type of email, and will give those of you that have people that you know that are unsuspecting and may be fooled into clicking on this, may give them something to think about. So this may be another good reason to get people that you know that are not superly technically oriented to switch to Gmail. And plus, the service is great, works good. There's been a little contention in the purchase of Groove by Microsoft. One of the major shareholders, or actually one of the original employees who holds preferred and common stock, basically filed a lawsuit to try to stop the acquisition, and his first hurdle in court failed. So the acquisition is continuing, but it's interesting to see that that there was basically someone objected to it. And I don't know if they objected because Microsoft got Groove for $120 million. You know, I use Groove. I've used it for a while. The application is not cheap. The application was like $149. And, you know, I had to have two licenses because I was running one on my machine and one on the wife's machine. And we used it a lot. It was great. Now, hopefully Microsoft will do something with that application to make it cheaper without taking away functionality. We'll see. It's going to be touch and go here for a while until we find out what they're doing. Okay, Time Warner, I swear, I found an article on Karante, and it was put up on the 31st of March, so it's a little bit older, but here's what they're going to do. All right, let's say that you are running late, and you get home, and let's say it's 9:20, and a program that you wanted to start watching was started at 9, but for some reason you had not pre-programmed that program to start. They're going to be doing some changes, or it looks like some changes to their DVR, so that you can press a button on your remote control to start over. But here's the deal. Okay, that's cool. That's a great feature. Except for one thing, they're not going to allow you to fast forward through the commercials. Yeah. You guys just hit your forehead like I hit mine. So they have buckled. They have buckled to the advertisers. I'm sure the advertisers are jumping for joy. Oh, this is a wonderful thing. We'll see how the customers what they have to say. I know what I'm going to say on my weblog in the morning. I missed this. This was off the horizon for me. So, as the title says on this web post, Department of Useless Technology, start over. And they can. They can start over again. They got a great DVR product. Why are they messing with it? Because they want to make sure their advertisers get paid. Okay, all you ladies out there who are pregnant, beware. You know, after you've done the miracle of life and delivered your new child, or those of you that are thinking about having children and haven't went through the process yet, when you're in the hospital, they always pile on all kinds of cool stuff. You know, you get diapers, you get baby formula. I mean, you walk out of there with this mother load of stuff. Not only with this mother load of stuff do you get, and it's basically like Hanes are trying to get you to, you know, you start using Hanes. Oh, that worked good. So while the wife is in recovery, here, honey, take this, go get this same type of diaper. It's smart for those companies to do that. But here's a trick that a company is using. They've got a service where you can get a free baby picture. And what happens is you fill out a little form and someone comes around and takes a picture of your baby. And I don't even, it might even be the hospital staff that takes a picture of your baby. But on that form, you got to fill out baby's name, baby's birth date, baby's address. Oh, yeah. You thinking what's going on? You send that in, you get a free picture of baby in the hospital. Not like we don't have digital cameras now, right, folks? Okay. So that goes into the company. And guess what that company does? Oh, terrific. We'll get them the free picture. And then meanwhile, there's a lady at a typewriter going, she's entering all the information of baby into the computer so that 3 years from now that they can start direct marketing to them. So don't fill anything out in the hospital. It's these freebie deals, especially that picture deal. So the link to that is up on Boing Boing. Okay, over on Chris Perillo's site, there is a link up to an article he has. It talks about Internet Explorer 7. He has been in Redmond the last couple of days taking a look at, he's up there for their Search Champs program, I guess. And he has got an eye on this, and he's basically reporting that, he can't report too much because he's under NDA. But what he can see, he says this, would I recommend upgrading to IE7 sight unseen? And he says, I'd probably still say yes. Well, for me, if Chris says it's good, I'm definitely going to try it when it's released. So the Firefox developers are going to have to stay busy because the big arm of Microsoft with all their money is coming. And I hope the Firefox people, all the hard work that they've done there, I hope they're on their toes and are able to stay ahead of the power curve. Interesting news off of MacMerc.com. Basically, bloggers like me that use Six of Parts movable type, and those of you that use TypePad, this is good news, and I haven't used this product before, now can easily create blogs with new versions of Adobe Go Live. I guess this is CS2, which now includes palettes for these products. So, I don't know a lot about CS2, but I'm going to find out about CS2. I am not a web artist, but I do enough little changes to different sites that I have that all run on movable type. I think I'm going to check this product out, see how much it costs, and I'll let you know. But it's part of their Creative Suite 2 Premium Edition. Ooh, that sounds expensive, doesn't it? Well, anyway, I'll let you know. But anyway, it's good to see that Six Apart got some templates in there. And maybe it'll make it easier for guys like me to be able to modify websites as we need to. Okay, congratulations to the Technorati folks. They have tracked their 1 billionth linked track, basically 1 billion weblog posts. And that came in on 31 March at 3:01 p.m. So 1 billion and growing, folks. Keep on weblog posting. Okay, the space shuttle, which is due to take a trip to the International Space Station in May, could be delayed if the task force that is supposed to be releasing their final report doesn't get it out on time, and there was a delay of some meeting. So there's speculation that this could impact the launch date of the space shuttle. Let's hope that they get that out on time, the space shuttle gets back in the air. I found a interesting service called Blog Runner, and I haven't had a lot of chance to play with it yet, but it apparently is tracking what Daypop, it does what Daypop does, but looks like much, much, much better. It tracks posting going on in the blog sphere, and it links up stuff that is, getting a lot of attention. And it looks like they've got politics, media, law, economy, books, and philosophy as major links. Where's tech? And so we'll see. I'm going to dig around in this thing a little bit and see how much more and if it can be customized. It may not. It may be all based upon pre-set up stuff, but it might be a great place to go and find out what's going on in the blog sphere and different topics. Blogrunner.com. And along with that, I found a link to a site called feed24.com. It's kind of like news is free, and it's similar to that. You can go in and set up an account, it looks like, and design your own feeds. You know, I love these kinds of services, and I'm going to dig into this some more and be able to find out if it can be customized. It looks like it can be, and I just pulled it up tonight, and I haven't had a chance to explore. So you guys can go over and explore at the same time I'm going to. I think that's going to do it for tonight, folks. I want to thank you for tuning in, and as always, you can contact us at geek@geeknewscentral.com, or you can Skype me at Geek News Central. You can also call us on the voicemail line at 619-342-7365. There's going to be a link up to the newsletter, so you guys make sure you get signed up on the newsletter, and so you can get in on some of these little special contests I'm going to have. And remember, I want you to think about 64. Think about 64. Something special is going to happen on 64. All right, folks, that's it. I'm going to leave you with a few tunes. Take care, and we will see you on Friday. You know, I really feel like some rock tonight. So we're going to end with some rock and roll. And turn the volume up, folks, for this independent artist. This is NGB Cold 2.
Taking everything that's left.
Oh, man. Does that get you fired up? All right, folks. Another one's kicking in. I'm going to tune you out. Have a good one. We'll see you on Friday. I didn't plan on playing that second one, but I did anyway. That was Balance Break Me In. And, you know, I'd just like to play some AC/DC one time. Some AC/DC. All right. See you later, guys. See you on Friday.